वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from 6th canto, 14th chapter, text, what chapter, 16th chapter? Text 44. Na. Hi Bhagavan Agatitam Idam Tvad Darshanam Nenam Akila Papa Shayaha Nyan Nama Sakrit Shavanat Pukasho api vimuchate samsarat nahi bhagavan agatitam idam darshanam ninam akila papakshayah Nama Sakrit Shavanat Pukashopi Mumuchate Samsarat Nahi Bhagavan Akati Agatitam Idam Twadharshanam Ninam Akila Papakshayaha Yannama Sakrit Shavanat Pukashopi Vimuchate Samsarat Nahi Bhagavan Agatitam Idam Agatitam Idam Tvadharshanam Ninam Akila Papakshayaha Yad nama sakrit shavanat Pukashopi vimuchate samsarat Nahi bhagavan agatitam idam Tadarshanam idam Nahi Bhagavan Agatitam Idam Tadharshanam Idam Kila Papakshaya Shavanat Pukashopi Vimuchate Samsarat Nahi Bhagavan Idam Darshanam Rinam Akila Papashaya Ladies. Nahi Bhagavan Agatitam Idam. Nahi Bhagavan
Namasha Krishchavana.
Prakashupi Muchate Samsara.
Nahi Bhagavan Agatikam Idam.
Word meanings?
Na,
not.
He.
Indeed.
Bhagavan,
O my Lord. Agatitam,
not occurred.
Idam,
this.
Tvat,
of you.
Dharshanat,
by seeing.
Nrinam,
of all human beings.
Akila,
all.
Papa,
of sins.
Shayaha,
annihilation.
Yat nama,
whose name.
Sukrit,
only once.
Shravanat,
by hearing.
Pukashaha,
the lowest class, the chandala.
The chandala.
Api.
Also.
Vimuchate.
Is delivered.
Sangsharat.
From the entanglement of material existence.
Translation.
My Lord. It is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you, not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only once. Even chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? So I'm going to go back two verses because this relates to two verses ago, talking about sinful people. Or maybe it's... Anyway, I'll read the last two verses. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? By causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. So we have the reference to irreligion. Next verse will refer to Varnashram. My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you. So now we have the sinful and the Aryans. who respect everyone. And then again in today's verse, we're talking about the sinful. Why don't we repeat? My Lord,
it is not impossible
for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. That means anybody. So it's not impossible that anybody could be freed from all material contamination by seeing Krishna. And some people don't believe that, and therefore this verse is saying it's not impossible. Because there are people who will say it's impossible. Or it's not possible. Or it doesn't happen. It's too easy. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship, only once. We'll say that again. Only once. Even Chandalas, the men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination? Simply by seeing you. So indirectly, this verse is glorifying the holy name because it's saying anyone who sees you will become pure. Even anyone who chants your name, or to speak of seeing you. Once. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.5.16, Yanama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one is immediately purified. Now, you're all sitting there thinking, I've been chanting the holy name for a long time, and I don't really feel so pure. So this verse is referring to the reactions of sin being eradicated. But just because the reactions of sin are eradicated doesn't mean the impressions that those sins made on your heart are eradicated at the same time. What's the example given? Liquor in a barrel? When you clean it out, it still has the fragrance. It still has, I don't know if you call it a fragrance, has the odor of liquor. Yes? So it is a fact, according to our shastras, that even one says the holy name once, they are freed from more sins than they can commit. But it doesn't mean they're freed from the tendency to commit sins immediately. Right? That takes time. And that takes pure chanting. Just by saying Krishna... Now, okay, I have to tell you something. This might be controversial, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it. I don't know if it's controversial, but it's misunderstood, I believe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when you begin chanting, you begin from the stage of Nam Abbas, not Nam Aparat. Now, many devotees will tell you, oh Prabhu, or oh Mataji, I commit so many offenses when I chant the holy name. Yes, you've heard that? I am so bad, I am so fallen, I am so this and I am so that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you begin chanting, you start from Nam Abbas. You don't start from Nam Aparat. You have to actually make some kind of effort to get into Nam Aparat. It takes some work. We think it's the other way around. It takes work to get into Nam Abbas, but it didn't take any work for Ajamil. So in Bhagavatam, in this canto, it talks a lot about Nam Abbas. That's actually where you start. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, to make no effort to avoid the offenses, then that's Nam Aparad. But of course you have to know what the offenses are. So if someone says, Hare Krishna! Get a haircut, as they say in America, or get a job,
or whatever else they say.
They said, Hare Krishna, there was no offense. They didn't commit any of the 10 namabhas. They don't even know what they are. That's namabhas. That's where they start. So therefore, it is said, if you chant this one name, it can remove all your sins. Doesn't mean you won't commit sins in the next moment, right? Anyway, the impressions of all the sins we've committed, they will remain. And it is pure chanting, it is continually chanting namabhas that will remove those anarthas, and pure chanting that will give love. So, when it says one is immediately purified, it's referring here to what's said in the verse, is purified of sinful reactions. Right? Just like if you become a pure devotee, your relatives are liberated from sinful reaction. Doesn't mean they became pure devotees. If it's that easy, I would advise having a lot of children. Because by your odds, one of them will become a pure devotee, and then you don't have to do anything. You can just, you know, enjoy life and wait for them to become a pure devotee. No, it's not like that. You're liberated from sinful reaction, but becoming a pure devotee, that takes work. Therefore, in the age of Kali, when all people are very contaminated, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended as the only means of improvement. Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kolo Nasteva, 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 Katiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Now, that sounds very fanatical, doesn't it? The only means of deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from the repeated cycle of birth and death. But take it further. Deliverance to the lotus feet of Krishna. Deliverance of your relationship with Krishna, your eternal relationship with Krishna. And deliverance to the platform of love of Krishna. That's what it means. And this is the only way you're going to get it. You can do other things and get other results. But to enter into your relationship with Krishna, this is the process. Prema. You won't get prema any other way. You might get mukti. Just like Christians are all into mukti. You know, they have this advertisement in America. They have a picture of a celebrity with milk on their lip, their upper lip. Looks like a mustache. And then the sign is, got milk? Any of you seen that? I just heard that. The milk industry was going down the tubes. And when they came out with that ad, it started going up. Didn't say anything about milk, it just said, got milk? Right? So the Christians are kind of like, got mukti? That's their whole, you know, they could change their, you know, have you been saved to got mukti? That's what they're about. You have it? Have you been saved? If not, your life is useless. So, according to our philosophy, being saved is kind of like, not that important, and it's really just a byproduct. You get it anyway, it's not really what we're after. But, so there may be other processes to save you, but no process to deliver prema. So are Hare Krishna's fanatics? Yeah, sometimes. At least if you understand this verse, we can say, is it fanatical to say the only way to get to the Ganga is to go west? Is that fanatical? No, it's just the way, it's just how it is. But, you know, someone might say you're fanatic. No, it's just you have to go west. That's where it is. Right? So, Krishna designed in Kali Yuga, how do you get love of Krishna? You get it through Nam. That's just how you get it. It's not fanatical. That's just the direction. That's how you do it. You can get other things through other processes. You can even get liberation, but you won't get love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this chanting of the holy name 500 years ago. And now, through the Krishna consciousness movement, the Hare Krishna movement, we are actually seeing that men who are considered to belong to the lowest class are being delivered from all sinful activities simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord. Samsara, material existence, is a result of sinful actions. Everyone in this material world is condemned. Yet, as there are different grades of prisoners, there are different grades of men. All of them, in all statuses of life, are suffering. To stop the suffering of material existence, one must take to the Hare Krishna movement of Sankirtan, or Krishna conscious life. So, I used to travel a lot, and I used to listen to a lot of Christian radio to see what the Christians are up to, how they're propagating their ideas and what they believe, because I wasn't raised Christian. So I was listening to one lecture, and a man was talking about the struggle with temptation, the struggle to control our senses, to control our minds, to control our desires, to not give in to what we know is sinful. And he was going on talking about how difficult it is to restrain oneself in the presence of temptation. And he was going on and on and on and on of how we have to try harder, be more determined, more perseverant. We have to struggle. We can't give up. We have to remain determined. And I was thinking, poor fellow, if he just had the holy name, you know, 1, 2, 3, finished. But it exemplified the reality that Prabhupada's describing in this verse. You know, it's true, you do have to struggle, but you struggle with the holy name, and that makes your struggle quite smooth and easy. But without the holy name, it's definitely a struggle. And from my experience, there are certain kinds of people who are extremely determined. They put their mind on something and they do it. The world could blow up, but they'll still do it. You know those kinds of people? Those are the ones like the multi-billionaires, you know, the athletes, the top of the top, the people who never give up, the people who work 20 hours a day when everyone's sleeping, they're perfecting their art. But everybody's not like that. So yes, if you're like that, maybe you'll have a little more control of your mind and senses than others. But generally people are not like that. They can't control themselves. So we are so fortunate because whenever we're in trouble, we have the solution. Now I want to tell you something that I find very significant. It's a letter that was written to Srila Prabhupada by one of his disciples who gave Prabhupada a list of his troubles. I can't control this, and I can't control that, and I'm giving into this, and I'm giving into that. Have you ever had that experience? He was in not a good condition. And Prabhupada wrote him back a very interesting letter. Prabhupada made an analysis of his letter. Without asking him any questions, he made an analysis. And his analysis was one thing. And could anyone guess? I'll give you a hint. It had something to do with the holy name. He made an analysis of his chanting. And he said, who can guess? Yes. Worse. Well, yeah. He said, by reading your letter and seeing the symptoms, these are symptoms, I can understand, these are symptoms of Nam Aparad. So what did Prabhupada mean? If you're chanting purely, or making the effort to chant purely, you wouldn't have these things going on in your life, that I'm giving into this and I'm giving into that, and I can't control this and I can't control that. So in other words, the power of the holy name is, as Prabhupada is saying, is to take the lowest of the low from the bottom of human society and uplift them to the highest position.
The reason I'm saying this is because that's the same holy name we're chanting every day. And if we're not feeling ourselves going up, it means we're not taking it properly. That's all it means. It is the medicine. Right? Isn't it? It can cure every ailment. Any problem we have, the holy name will cure if it's taken properly. So there's a very important point I want to make. Any problem we have the holy name. We just don't have to fight it on our own. You know, go in our room and, you know, just like, okay, we're going to do it. No, that's good if you have that determination. But if we're not taking the holy name properly, then we're going to have trouble because we're conditioned souls. And that's the nature of conditioned souls, unless you're one of those rare people who can just do anything. Actually, even those rare people who can do anything, some of them have joined the Krishna conscious movement and they thought they could do anything by their own willpower and they failed because they didn't take full shelter of the process. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's all by Krishna's mercy. So, He responds with your effort. But some people joined our movement and thought, well, before I was a devotee, I was able to do anything I put my mind on, so I'll do it in Krishna consciousness. And they failed, because they thought they were the doer. And it was the only thing they ever failed in their life. I know people like that. They never failed in anything. They came to Krishna consciousness, and they couldn't become number one in a year like they were in everything else they did. Because it's a different process. It's not just your effort and determination. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Herein it is said, Yannama Sakrit Shavanat. The holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that if once heard without offenses, so that's the key, without offenses, it can purify the lowest of men. Kirato Hunandhya. Some of us fall in that category. I guess we all fall in that category. Such men who are called chandalas are less than shudras, but they also can be purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, not to speak of personally seeing the Lord. From our present position, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be personally seen as the deity in the temple. The deity of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Because we cannot see the Supreme Lord with our present blunt eyes, the Lord has kindly consented to come before us in a form we can see. Therefore, the deity in the temple should not be considered material. By offering food to the deity, and by decorating and serving the deity, one gets the same result that one derives from serving the Lord personally in Vaikuntha. So now I want to say something else, controversial. It's not controversial, but I don't think everyone's understood it. But if I say it's controversial, you all wake up. So is everyone awake? Controversial. What's he going to say? In Jivadharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said something very interesting, not something that I've really heard devotees say. The other day, Adi Purush was talking about pure devotional service, anyabhilashitam shunyam, that anyone can do pure devotional service if their motive is pure. That is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes shuddhanam. Now, he says something which seems kind of like, how do you get out of this dilemma? You can't chant Shuddhanam unless you're Shuddha. All right, that leaves me out. Then what hope do I have to become Shuddha, pure? So I have to become pure before I can chant. All right, that sounds discouraging. Yeah, it's like, right, yeah. So, okay, I'll just stop chanting, wait till I become pure. No, but I want to chant purely. But he goes on to explain that actually this anyabhilashita shunyam, that's madhyam adhikari. That's where madhyam... That's actually the stage of... To be madhyam, you're pure. It's actually, technically, if you want to get into it, the beginning of uttama adhikari. But generally, for someone to be uttama, we think, whoa, they probably just descended the other day from the spiritual world. Yeah. Nobody's uttama, right? But actually, technically, by definition, when you come to Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, when you're serving without any impure motive, that's really like Kanishka Uttama. That's like really the beginning of Uttama. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, on that level, you can chant Shuddha Nam. Now, we wouldn't think ourselves we're chanting Shuddha Nam, and probably we wouldn't think anybody's chanting Shuddha Nam, because we would think if someone's chanting Shuddha Nam, they'd probably be falling over, crying, hair standing on end, banging their head on the floor, screaming. Right? Isn't that generally Ashtika? We think of the eight symptoms of ecstasy when someone's chanting Shuddha Nam. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's not like that. He says Shuddha Nam begins when one is Shuddha, when one is pure. And one is pure when their only motive in chanting the holy name is to please Krishna. That's considered Shuddha Nam. So actually, things are looking better already, right? You're starting out at Namavas, and you can chant Shuddha Nam. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, chant one. Get a taste, chant one. So, the best thing that we can do in the first 2 hours of the morning, or those 2 hours we're chanting, is make the effort to chant Shuddha Nam. That's the best thing we can do. And the worst thing we can do is just chant. And just chanting is pretty much the antithesis of Shuddha Nam. Because Shuddha means there's an intention of pure devotional service. That's what it means. Do you have the intention of pure devotional service? In fact, here's something else controversial. Was that last thing I said controversial? Or just in new information or different controversial? Okay. You thought that was controversial. That was nothing compared to the next thing I'm going to say. I could be thrown off the Vyasasana for this. Are you interested in hearing it? You want to hear? All right, this is really controversial. And this could get me in trouble because it goes against something the Prabhupada said. Now I can see it all over Dandavats. Mahaprabhu said he's going to say something against what Prabhupada said. Kick him out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we can amalgamate what Prabhupada said to make sense. He said, Krishna is not in his name. Ooh, sacrilegious. Prabhupada never said that. Krishna is not in his name. But you could make the argument that Krishna is not in the deity. Because if you don't see him there, he's not there. Correct? No, he's installed. Krishna's there. But if you don't see him, he's not there. Right? Okay, Krishna's in his name. Prabhupada said that. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, Krishna descends in his name when you chant with the mood of I want to be a pure servant. That's when Krishna is there. But if you chant if you just chant, and there's no intention of purity, then is Krishna actually there? That question, I don't want to evaluate your chanting. I'm only asking you to evaluate it yourself, to ask yourself that question. Is Krishna really there? But what I would like to say is, there is a huge difference between spending 2 hours trying to invoke Krishna's presence through pure chanting and just chanting. And my personal experience is just chanting is kind of a sort of violence that we commit to ourselves, because the pure holy name can do so much, can give us so much. It can give us everything we need. And when we don't take it purely, we're cheating ourselves. 2 verses ago, the word was used twice, I believe, self-envy, which is an interesting word, because, you know, I'm envious of myself. You know, that's like, what do you mean I'm envious of, how does that work, you know? I eat ice cream every day, I like myself, you know, I eat pizza 3 times a week. I sleep 9 hours a day, I love myself. You know? What do you mean I'm envious of myself? What a concept. I was writing a book years ago, which hopefully someday will come out. And the devotee, I titled a chapter, Envious of Ourself. And the devotee who was editing the book got really angry. He said, you can't say that. I said, why can't I say that? He said, Prabhupada never said that. And I gave her like six quotes where Prabhupada said it. He said he did too. She thought, that's some kind of like New Age BS. You know, envious of yourself. You know, you got to love yourself. You know, self-compassion, self-love, you know. That's what she thought. She said, it was a complete concoction of my mind. I said, no, Prabhupada talks about it, that we're envious of ourselves. Now, I want to tell you a story which will blast your mind, as they say in India. This is an amazing story. We want to hear an amazing mind-blasting story. Even I might go over time. But because it's mind-blasting, I'm allowed to go over time. So I'm in Latin America, and a devotee comes up to me and says, we were real busy for Janmashtami, and I just didn't chant my rounds. And I asked her a mind-blasting question, which I don't think anyone in the universe would ask except Mahatma. You want to hear the question I asked her? I said, did your parents mistreat you? What kind of question is that to ask when someone who's saying, I don't chant my rounds? And she said, yes. How did you know? I said, because they mistreated you. That means they made you feel like you were, I can't say the word, but an equivalent it is, cow dung. There's a slang for that. I won't say that. But they made you feel like cow dung, right? Or something similar. Cow dung's kind of nice. They made you feel like the dung of other animals, right? And she said, yes, they did. And I said, and let me ask you a question. Did that have any effect on how you perceive yourself as valuable or not valuable? She said, yeah, I don't feel myself valuable. And I said, that's why you stopped chanting. She was in shock. I said, because you don't care about yourself. That's why you stopped chanting. And she thought about it and she said, oh my Govinda. As we say in America, you hit the nail on the head. That was the reason she stopped chanting that week. Because she just didn't care enough about herself. Isn't that interesting? Now Prabhupada's saying self-envy. What is Prabhupada, how does he explain self-envy? He says when you don't care about your spiritual life, you're envious of yourself. So what would be the opposite of envy? It would be to be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. Right? Actually, I did write an article called Self-Compassion. And I got criticized by somebody that this sounds like New Age cow dung or something similar to cow dung. And I said, no, but it's actually there. So what I'm trying to say is that during that time of day when we're chanting, you can get so much from the Holy Name. It's all there. Everything's there. But you have to care to do it. You can't just chant and say, okay, I don't really care. As long as I get 16 done, everything's great. No. You actually have to care. I want to end with a thought, which is very powerful. And I've taught this for many years, but recently there was some scientific research to back up what I kind of understood on my own. And it's always nice to hear research that backs up something you've realized. In my workshops, not in my workshops, but when I first attended some japa retreats, one thing that kept coming up were the realizations devotees were having. And they'd say things like, I've been a devotee 35 years, and this is not, the mantra I chanted this week is not the same mantra I chanted for the last 35 years. You know, like when you take prasadam and somebody feels good, they say, what did you put in this? It's like, what did you put in the mantra during this retreat? It's not the same. Huge realizations that they'd never had, inspiration from chanting. So, by seeing this over and over again, and by seeing many of our God brothers who've been devotees 40 plus years, 45, admitting that actually my japa was better 30 years ago than it is today, it became obvious to me that simply by practicing something, you don't get better necessarily. That, you know, some people were better when they say, God, when I was a new bhakta, I was fired up. Now look at me, I'm a total mess. Can hardly get out of bed, you know. So just by, you know, doing it every day doesn't mean you get better. That was just my realization personally, and by seeing other people and discussing with other people, and people would admit that. It's not automatic. And I'd always give the example that I learned to play mridanga the second day I moved in the temple. I had a 10-minute mridanga lesson, and Mahatma was out there playing mridanga with his 10-minute lesson, right? And about as good as I played mridanga that day is about as good as I play today, because I never practiced and I never tried to get good. If you learn to play mridanga 3 months, 6 months, and you study, you're going to be way better, fancier than Mahatma, who's been playing mridanga for 46 years, who never tried to get good, who just tried to get by and keep a beat in a kirtan. That's proof, isn't it? Yes? Right? Okay, I've been playing for 45 years. Take any 16-year-old raised in the movement. They can run circles around me, right? I've tried to figure their beats out. I can't figure it out. So what the research said is that it doesn't matter how long you do something, you don't necessarily get better unless you're trying to get better. So they found people in professions for 30 years are not really any better than new people coming in if they haven't tried to perfect or improve what they're doing. If they just do what they do, they get by, it's good enough, that's how they stay. Does that make sense? So, if every day you just chant to get by, you'll just get by. But if every day you chant and think, today I should improve a little from yesterday, and let's make tomorrow better and better, and reflect on how you can improve, you will get better. You agree? Does that make sense? It's my personal experience. You actually have to try to get better. Now, there is another problem. If every day you chant to get by, you encode that in your psyche, and that becomes your default. And you tend to go back to your default. And I've seen this. We do japa workshops, we do japa retreats. We try to break people's patterns and defaults, right? But unless you constantly try to maintain your new standards and improve, the tendency is to go back to your defaults. You have that experience? Because defaults are, you don't have to do anything. You just can sit there, nish nish ram ram, right? Schnick schnick, wam wam, adi adi. So I have a joke for you. We'll end with a joke. Watch out for the snickadoodas. The snickadoodas may come for you at the time of death. If you snick snick, and the wamadoodas and the aridoodas, you know, they all might be waiting for you at the time of death if you don't try to improve. You've heard about the snickadoodas? You know about the vishnudoodas, the yamadoodas. There's also the snickadoodas. They come for all the snick snicks who are satisfied schnick-schnicking and aren't trying to improve. Right. So, if we're not trying to improve, we tend to default back to what's comfortable and easy. And it's very comfortable and easy to just not control your mind and chant. It's very comfortable and easy to use japa as a creative session. Just creating during japa. I got so many ideas and talking to my friends. Wow, this idea and that idea. Any of you do that? Raise your hand if you're a creative japa addict. Which is not as bad as the prajapa japas who just talk. But that's not what japa is about. It's not about creativity. It's about getting closer to Krishna. Because japa awakens love of Krishna. That's what it's about. Getting closer, going deeper. So I just wanted to share that those 2 hours, you can achieve so much in your spiritual life, but you could also waste it. And if you have a little more self-compassion, it will help you, because with that self-compassion, you will tell yourself, I really have to apply myself in these 2 hours. Because these 2 hours can make a huge difference. And multiply, that's 14 hours a week, those 2 hours, right? That is 56 hours every month. How many hours is that a year? 56 times 12 is 560. How many? 670 hours. Multiply that by how long you've been a devotee. You could potentially waste that much time. I mean, you know, Mahatma's saying, I'm wasting my time chanting. I'll get fired for that. You understand what I'm saying. When I say wasting time compared to what it could be. Right? Now I'll end with little dessert. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I don't know if you've heard this, but this is amazing. Prabhupada said, if you commit nam aparad, what should you do? You should keep chanting, right? Should you keep chanting nam aparad? Will that help you? I mean, the connotation is, just keep chanting, because if you just keep chanting, it's like gambling in Las Vegas. Sooner or later, you're going to win. You know, just keep chanting. Sooner or later, you'll hit one shudanam, you know. Out of millions of mantras, you might get lucky, you know. Get a drop of mercy comes down. It's not exactly like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something which I think brings this topic together. He said, if you commit offense, you should chant continually in remorse that you committed the offense. Krishna, please forgive me for offending your holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not just chanting, okay, if I chant 16 rounds, I've removed all my offenses. No. So there's a consciousness, there's an intention, there's a purpose. Right? Chanting in remorse. Then you become purified by the chanting. Yes? Does that make sense? You want me to tell you something else? This can really help you? Okay. This is the last thing I'll say, although I said this is the last thing I'll say 3 times. I better keep my word now. And then you can all leave if you want, but if you have any questions, we can do that. Prabhupada once said something that can help you so much in your japa. If you just meditate on this when you're chanting. He said, when you call Krishna's name, Krishna hears it. Just like I say, Sureshwar Prabhu. Then Sureshwar is sitting there thinking, yeah, what? Yeah. And I don't, Sureshwar Prabhu, and I'm silent. He says, what do you want? So he said the same thing when you say, Hare Krishna. Krishna says, yeah, what do you want? He's waiting for you to tell him. So what do you tell him? Oh, Krishna, I want to get my rounds done. No, you don't tell him that. You don't tell him how much you don't like chanting. You tell him what you want. Krishna, I want to be your pure devotee. I want to enter a relationship with you. I want to overcome my anarthas. You reveal to Krishna during that 2 hours, this is what I want. So japa becomes a conversation of the heart, I'm revealing. And if you go deeply, the conversation becomes two ways. And you don't hear it through your head. I'm not saying chant in your head, but you'll hear it through your heart. By revealing, Krishna, I want this, I need this, I want to serve you. Krishna will inspire you through your heart. And you have this two-way conversation. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that better than schnick schnick mom mom? Adi Adi, hope I get my rounds done quick and easy so I can get on to better things. Isn't it better? Yeah, it's much better. So I just wanted to offer that to you as something that awaits you every morning, something amazing. And be kind on yourself. Don't neglect yourself. Do yourself right. Love yourself. Give yourself Shuddhanam. We can actually get to Shuddhanam sooner than you thought. Okay? Is that good? Is that all right? All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. I did end after the fourth time.